pray. God, thank you for being that Father, that example, that influence in our lives that is good. God, I pray that we would look to you today, look to your word, and be changed by it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You all can have a seat. Thank you for being here, Hope Church, whether you're in Lincoln or South County or online. We're just glad that you're joining us on this Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads in the room and in those locations that I just mentioned. I wanted to just start out by saying that, you know, my dad was a pretty big influence in my life. He is a guy that is pretty amazing. I mean, he is a he's an electrician. He is a builder. He's built a cabin out of like logs on his property. I don't know how anyone can do that, but he does it. He is an artist. He paints. He does auto body work on cars. He does all these. He has like all these skills that I don't have. It's incredible. In fact, I think I've inherited maybe about 2% of his skills. But there are other things that my dad has influenced my life in that have carried on. The value that he has of family, the way that he's poured into my life spiritually. He led me to Jesus, and that's something that's carried with me to this day. And I'm so thankful for it. Even his craziness and like his sense of humor and all that, that's something that I feel like in some ways I've picked up on, although I don't know to his level. But every single time that I had an encounter with him, kind of like what Maggie shared about the encounter with her dad, it was like he was handing me something. It was like he was handing me a key to growing up. Every time you get a key, it's a level of responsibility that you have that you maybe didn't have before. And as you can see, I have too many keys on my keychain. Like, my wife has one key because that's all she needs. And most of these keys, I don't need. In fact, I don't know what half of them are. But in life, we're handed a key every time we're given responsibility. Every time that something is passed to us. And I'm going to toss this there. Every time we're given something, it's like getting a key. And I remember key moments where my dad gave me something. When I had been caught in a lie, he wrote me a letter and then took me on a drive. And I was scared out of my mind. But that was him handing me a key. A key to take responsibility. To take some responsibility for my actions. And to ask me the question of, what are you going to do? Kind of like what Maggie's dad asked her. And I believe that Titus is a letter that Paul wrote to Titus so that he could then start to hand some keys over to a community that desperately needed good and godly influence in their life. And my question for us as we start today is this, is do you influence others the way that you want to be influenced? One of the things that I'll talk to my kids about when maybe someone doesn't treat a sibling the way that they should is I'll be like, are you treating them the way that you want to be treated? Have you heard that line before from a parent? Well, I think the question could be asked as far as influence goes too. Are you influencing others the way that you want to be influenced? And some of you are going and you're hearing these stories about good influences. Well, my dad was not always a great influence. He had some flaws too. But the book of Titus is not a book of excuses. It's a book where he's challenging a community to take responsibility regardless of the influence that is around them and to press in and to be an influence that they want to have in their own lives. And I'm going to just remind us of a passage. One of the things that my dad passed on to me was the gift of poor eyesight. So I just got a new Bible. It's a large print, and I'm really excited about it. I'm going to remind you of a verse that Justin read yesterday, a couple verses, and he's just to paint the scene that we're in. He says Paul's writing to Titus, and he's talking about the qualifications of an elder, and he says he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. And then here's a verse that I want us to see together. Paul's saying, these influencers that are in your life, they must be silenced since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. He's saying there are influencers in your life who are trying to lead you down a path that is not good and not okay. And the thing that he highlights here, when Justin read it, I was like, oh my goodness, this is it. This is the thing that I want to focus on today. Who was the target of the empty deceivers, the insubordinate, the empty talkers, the deceivers, and the insubordinate? It was the families. It was the families. And Paul is writing this letter to Titus to change the course of the church so that he could pour into families so that they could then change the culture and influence a culture towards Christ. There's a couple that goes here, and they have a friend who posted this on Twitter, and she had shared it, and when I saw it, I was like, yes, this is it right here. Her name's Adriana, and she said, we don't just go to church to learn about God, although that is the most important thing. We learn about community and relationships. We learn from older and younger generations, from teachers, friends, parents, and pastors. The church is a family that God knew we would need. And it's true, because in this letter we see Titus receiving this letter and going, hey, families are the target of bad influence in our culture. And you need to pour into them and encourage them to live a different way. And it starts with learning about God, having core doctrine. And that's how he starts chapter 2. He says, but as for you, there's a couple times that Paul directly targets Titus and says, you need to do this. And this is one of those times. The thing that he starts off with as he's making this appeal to Titus to talk to families is this. He says, as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. That is most important. Know what you are going to be about and then stand by it. That's what he's saying. Because you are entering a battlefield of influence and you need to be prepared. You need to be ready. And the battlefield of influence is the home. In the Greek, it's the word oikos. And the oikos is the core dynamic of society. Where it goes, society will go. It is made up of the literal members of the household. And that is who Titus is needing to address per the instruction of Paul. The oikos. The husbands, the wives, the fathers, the mothers, the children, and every member of that household. And that's where we're going to look next. And he starts with the men. So fathers, husbands, lean in, because this instruction's for you, okay? He says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, love, and steadfastness. Justin posed a question last week that I think we can piggyback off of today, and this is, how are you leading yourself? How are you leading yourself in your homes? Are you doing these four things? Are you sober-minded, literally being cautious in the use of wine? Or you can take it from a more metaphorical sense and say, are you aware of who you are and the impact and the influence that you have? Are you aware of your words? Are you aware of how much weight they hold? Are you dignified? Do you conduct yourself in a manner that's worthy of respect? The third thing was, are you self-controlled, sensible, or prudent? And I'll go back again to chapter 1 because he's contrasting what the picture and what the example is in their culture, the Cretans, and what it should look like when we're following Christ. Look at this, verse 12 of chapter 1. It says, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. That was the testimony of their own people. And what Paul's trying to do is encourage Titus to share this example, to be sober-minded, dignified, and to have some self-control. Do you want to be that or a Cretan? Doesn't that just sound nasty? A Cretan. That's what he's saying. Don't be like that. be sensible, be prudent. And then he says to live soundly. And the way that that's measured is in our faith, in our love, and he uses a word, steadfastness, which I think you could substitute with hope or endurance or patience, but there is a conviction to how they live, and they stand by it. Their faith is carried out in how they conduct themselves, how they live in the day-to-day happenings of life. Husbands, fathers, is that the example? Is that the influence that we are setting for the world around us? He moves to the next member of the household, and I want you to pick up on this. There's a word that's used twice in this passage, and it's the word likewise. It joins the instructions that Paul gives through Titus to the men and links it to the instructions that he's going to give to the women. So the instructions are applicable to both, but he adds on and gets more specific to the group that he's talking to. And I want you to see it right here. It says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. You can see the similarities. They are to teach what is good. Older women are to live out their influence as it reflects that of the influence of the husband or the father. And if that example is not there, who are they to turn to? Well, he's going to get to that in verse 11. But ultimately, it's to Jesus. He is our example. He is our influence. And if the men in the home were following that example, they would be worthy of the respect that Paul is calling women to have for men. Right? I think so. There's an audience that is being influenced here. There's actually two audiences watching the influence of older men and older women. And I'm just showing you one right here. The first audience is young men or young women. And our job as older men and older women is to identify and invest intentionally in those people. And if we're talking about a household, that's not that hard, right? I mean, they live with you. So not a whole lot of difficulty finding who I need to identify. You just pour into who God has put in your lap, right? The same thing happens if you don't have necessarily a family that you can invest in your workplace. You can invest in your grandchildren, your nephews, your nieces, whatever it is. But we are called, as followers of Jesus, to identify who is the oikos in our life. And how can we bring influence to them? He says to the older women, and so train them, teach them, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. All the things that were mentioned to younger women, he links again to the younger men. He's saying, all these things that I'm instructing you to train up the younger women in, likewise, similarly, you could say, train up the younger men to follow these ways. Why? Why is the influence within the home so important? Because every time we intentionally invest in the younger generation, in the younger, more immature of the faith, every time we do that, we're handing a key of influence to them. Every time. There is another audience that is mentioned in verse 5. And this is it. The audience is not just the young men and women, but it's the watching world. The world is watching the influence that is going on within the home, within the oikos. Do you see the end of this verse? It says that the word of God may not be reviled. Why do we train? Why do we equip the young men and the young women in the home? So that the word of God may not be reviled. By who? The world. The world is watching to see what makes this family dynamic different. What makes the values that they have worth following? Paul, again, turns his focus not just to the general oikos home, but specifically to Titus again in verse 7. And he's challenging him to be the influence to others that they want to see influencing the world around him. So what Paul is doing, he's saying, Titus, if you want to see this change, if you want to see this change happen in the homes of Crete, then you are going to have to take some responsibility and be the influence that you are wanting to see influence the world. It has to start with you. It starts with one person. Verse 7 says, show yourself, Titus, in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Why is it so important that Titus take responsibility and actually live this out himself? Because there is an oikos, a home, that is watching. And also, there is a watching world, an opponent, someone who wants to see him fall on his face. And Paul says, don't let it happen. Stand true to the faith. Verse 7, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. The influence of the entire oikos is represented here, but I haven't finished talking about the entire oikos, the entire household. The influence of the entire oikos is not limited by whether you're male or female, or by your socioeconomic status. And it's made, and that is, it's proven by verse 9. He says in verse 9, bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Who is Paul talking to here? He's talking to the slaves, and we don't know if they are of slaves of Christian masters or non-Christian masters. All we know is that they are slaves who are following Jesus. And Paul's giving them instruction and saying, this is how you are to live. They have an opportunity. And the influence starts with a word that is, for a lot of us, a trigger word in today's society. The trigger word is submissiveness. Submissiveness. We don't like that word, because it means that we have to put ourselves under the authority of another. But in the environment of the oikos, everyone is submissive. Those words, that word likewise, is so true in this case, because everyone is submissive to an authority within the household if they are God followers. There's no such thing as a lower level of influence. We model the type of influence that we want to see modeled to the world. It doesn't matter who we are, what position we find ourselves in the household, what role we have. We're called to influence through a life of submission. Submission is an opportunity to show the grace of God. To show someone love even if they don't deserve it. In what ways can we practice this? Well, he highlights it. He gives this chiasmatic style of teaching here in this one verse, where he gives a positive, two negatives, and ends with a positive. It's really nice of Paul to do it that way. And this is what he says to do. He says, be well-pleasing. Do not be argumentative. Do not be pilfering, which is another word for stealing or cheating or lying. Show good faith. Why does he give all of these commands to the older men, the older women, the younger men, the younger women, and the bondservants in the home? Because all of these things are opposite of what the culture would challenge them to live. They all would live contrary to these things. They wouldn't be well-pleasing. They'd be out for themselves. They wouldn't be not argumentative. They would be argumentative in everything. They wouldn't be looking for the well-being of others or show good faith. They would look to please themselves in all things. But when we are submissive, it's an opportunity to show grace. And the next verse, in verse 11, is probably the most important verse. Paul gives all these instructions to pass down through Titus. But all of it hinges on this verse, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. His focus is on the home. And he's saying, you all have an opportunity to bring influence through a life of submission and to use this opportunity to show what you have received, and that is the grace of God. And that grace is extended to all people, regardless of whether you're a man, female, slave, or free. That grace covers you. Now, how are you going to live from that? You've been given this amazing key, a key to life. How are you going to use that influence? That's the challenge. The influence that Paul is sharing with the people of Crete is that they have the opportunity to extend grace, and it starts in the home. And I think one of the things I was talking, actually I was having a conversation with Justin the last couple weeks about this idea. And I think the difference between being an influencer is it's not about trying to compete for the role that you have in any environment, whether it's the home or your workplace or wherever you find yourself, even within the church family. It's not about competing for that position of influence. It's about how do we complement one another as the family of God? How do you complement those that you work with? How do you work more to be about raising other people up instead of tearing them down so you can get to the position that you want to be in? And some of you might hear that and go, but I'm the man of my household. I'm the leader. Well, let me challenge you with something. Because maybe you're asking the question, well, how do I communicate that I'm an influencer in my workplace? How do I communicate that I'm an influencer in my home, that people should listen to me? Let me challenge you with this. Leaders do not need to tell others the influence that they possess. You want to have influence? The way to get influence isn't by telling people that you have influence. The way to influence isn't by declaring all the ways that they should listen to you just because you are who you are. That's not how it works. And parents, we do this a lot, right? Why should I listen to you, Dad? Because I'm your dad. That's right. Listen to me. Why should I listen to you, boss? Because I'm your boss. Now, is there a level of truth to that, that we are to respect and honor the person who is in a role over us? Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the verses that I'll share with my kids when they are disobedient is Ephesians 6:1. Parents, mark this one down, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But there's a key phrase in that verse. Why should children obey you? Because you are in the Lord. You are under the submission of His authority in your life as parents. And it's from that place, as you try and submit your life and live from the grace that He has extended to you, it's from that place that we parent, that we are a spouse to our spouses, that we are a coworker to our coworkers. Because He has given us a key of grace, and we are trying to help those around us unlock that key as well. We We don't need to tell others the influence that they possess. And that's Paul's point in Titus. You all have received grace. You all have this salvation. It's been given to you. So now how will you live from that place? Because that's where you gain influence. And he proceeds in the following verses, the next four verses, to show us how we can unlock the influence in our lives. Whether you're husband, wife, young person, young man, young woman, slave or free. He says this. I'll read verse 11 again because we need to be reminded. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. You've received this grace, and now what do we do from it? We start trying to understand, how do we live from the grace? He says, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Influencers, leaders, if you want to have influence in your life, the first thing he calls you to is understand the grace that you have been given and to start living authentically from that grace. Train yourself in godliness. Renounce all ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Fathers, husbands, wives, mothers, this is where it starts in the home. To receive His grace and understand the influence that it can have in your life and to live authentically. The second thing is that you've been given this grace. You need to train and live your life authentically. And the second thing is that we need to listen attentively. You want to be an influencer? Learn how to listen. He says in verse 13, waiting for our blessed hope. As you train, there's a process of waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The reality is that Jesus is not standing in this room right now. However, He has given us His Spirit to lean into and listen for. His Spirit is the great counselor, the convictor of our hearts, but if we're not listening, we won't hear Him. As an influencer to the world around us, we are called to receive His grace, live authentically from that grace, and listen attentively to His voice and the ways that He is calling us to move. He is our great God and Savior, and He has given us a great gift. He has given us a key to understanding the will of God, and it is His Spirit. The next thing that he challenges us to do is that if we are going to be leaders or influencers, we need to follow enthusiastically. Have you noticed what I haven't said so far? So far I haven't said, if you want to be an influencer and a leader, you need to declare with all authority that that is who you are. And people better listen up. No. Live authentically, listen attentively, and follow enthusiastically. He says, if you put your trust in the grace of Jesus and train yourself towards godliness and listen to His words, and you understand that He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are what? Who are zealous for good works. Do you know what kids in our homes need to see? Fathers and mothers who are passionate about something that's of worth. That's what they need to see. He ends the chapter this way. When you've received His grace, when you've trained yourself from a posture from that grace towards authenticity in Him, when you wait on Him and listen attentively to the way that He would lead, when you live zealously for Him with passion, not apathy, then, he says, declare these things exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. The watching world that is wanting to see a difference, show them the difference and then speak it with all authority. When leaders are influenced by the hope that is to come, the grace that has been given to them, then you have authority to speak from that place. It's not the other way around. You don't declare authority and then hope that they just get in line. You live from the place of a submitted posture, of authenticity, and you call others to join in with you. And a whole culture can be changed. A whole society can be changed. And it starts in the home. To be the influence to others that you want to see influencing the world around you, this is what it takes. Here's the next steps that I'd invite you to join with me. Will you submit to the influence of Jesus in your life? Basically, this is what I'm saying. Would you ask to receive the grace that only He can give? That's where all of this starts. And then, rather than trying to assert your influence, will you live out the influence with the grace that Jesus has shown you? That you live authentically. That you would leave a life of apathy and passivity and move towards accountability of Christ and to follow that. And here's the thing, the very last step is one that we can practically do. We ask people to do two things. We invite you to do two things, and that is to share You Matter cards. I have one in here. You can share a You Matter card, and that's an easy thing to do, right? The other thing we do is we ask people to pray for one. And sometimes it's easy to pray for one and say, oh, give me the opportunity to just share this card. But as you pray for one person in your life, will you examine the type of influencer that God is calling you to be to that person? And will you maybe consider the idea that rather than just declaring with authority to them the way that they should go, we could show them the grace that we've received and how we've been challenged to live by that grace. How we are attentively listening to His leading. And how we can follow Jesus enthusiastically around the person that we're praying for. Would you join me in doing that? I think we can unlock the key that Paul was talking about if we do that together. We pray that let's pray together. And Jesus, God, we need Your help to be the influencers in the world around us in Rhode Island, in our neighborhoods. And God, we pray that You would convict our hearts of any type of selfishness that's there. That we would get our hearts in alignment with Yours. And that we would see the value of knowing You and living from the place of grace that we find ourselves in because of Your Son, Jesus. We love You, and we pray this in Jesus' name.